Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start with the good news. Nice breeze today. Highs of 84. Humidity's down. Highs of 86. And the humidity's going to stay low and through the week. And it's going to be dry. No rain till next Monday when another front comes through. But the highs are going to be pushing 90. So not really fall-like. Lower humidity, but not very fall-like. Saints did fall last night to the Kansas City Chiefs. Mike Dettelier joins us now. WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. He'll be second-guessing this evening at the Silver Slipper in on a beach in Hancock County, Mississippi. So he's got a long day. And, Mike, we appreciate your time as always. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, Tommy.
You know, I'll start with this. When you got a guy playing center that wasn't even on a team how many days ago? And you're playing...
He had signed midweek.
And you're playing the world champions that are undefeated, the two-time defending world champions that are undefeated. Chances are, you're up against it.
Yeah, he's a veteran guy. He knows what to do. The problem became Nick Saldiveri. He got beat like a drum last night. You put a lot of capital on Nick because... You traded up to get him in round four. You basically kind of handed him the starting job at guard, and then he gets hurt early in training camp and didn't see him again until almost the start of the season. And you could tell he was overwhelmed last night trying to block that front of the Chiefs. But
the only thing I was wondering about on that, Mike, is doesn't the center make the calls, or do they shift the responsibility?
In essence, the center – tells the guards what to do. Guards tell the tackles. They pass it down.
So I was just trying to
figure. And he makes all the adjustments.
I was trying to figure out if he was there long enough, the center, the new guy was there long enough to make the right. I was trying to watch him, and it seemed as though he was playing pretty well at first. Then when he went over to the right side to help Saldiveri, that's where the problems happened.
You got beaten every phase of the game last night. Mm-hmm. Offense, defense, special teams, and it was a master class coaching clinic by the Chiefs and Andy Reid. I mean, every move, and I've seen it before, you know, he's playing football chess and others are playing checkers. I mean, he's that good. That's why, you know, they've won as much as they've won throughout the years. And everybody's got injuries, and so you got to fight that off. Chiefs have them, Saints have them, but Manny, he finds a way to win. He finds a way to put that W up on the board, and that's what it's all about.
And
terrific
look,
coaching staff.
I'm not making excuses or anything, but I will say this: I thought they played hard. Not necessarily well, but I didn't see a lot of quit. I saw a lot of hard hitting, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, sure. I mean, come on. This is Monday Night Football.
I know.
You got all your peers watching you.
I thought about that, too.
You got all your peers watching you, so you want to play hard. But when the Chiefs needed something, they had it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday. There's nothing to simulate what Pat Mahomes can do.
Nope.
There's only one like him, that his improvisational skills – to make a play, to make a throw, to make a run. You got people around him. He eludes them. He somehow gets away, gets a first down, or he'll run around the pocket and make a throw downfield. There's only one guy that can do it like that, and it's him. And Kelce was exactly what we talked about yesterday. On a third and five, he gets you seven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers were not gaudy. He made a lot of catches, not a ton of yardage, but every time seemingly they were moving the chains. The biggest surprise to me was the Chiefs' ability to run the football with Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kareem Hunt, just a couple of weeks back, he was unemployed. He was hoping he'd get another chance, and the Chiefs made that call, came in here. I thought last night he really had a big-time game against the Saints at running back.
And over 100 yards.
The Chiefs aren't noted for being a heavy running team. Mm-hmm. I thought last night they showed – they were going to run it, and at times they had four tight ends in the game.
Yep.
So they sort of said, okay, you do what you got to do. We're going to do what we got to do. And they played a bit of bully ball up front against you.
Goes back to the coaching. The Saints constantly on offense were behind the chains, constantly picking up 1 yard on first down.
Yeah, you couldn't run the ball.
Nope.
You could see the game plan of Steve Spagnuolo here. His deal was, we're not going to let Alvin Kamara, you know, dictate this game. And so he sort of took him out. And I think for every defensive coordinator, you go into the game saying, one guy, we have to be able to control. And last night it was Kamara. Because they understood what he means to this team now, you know, as a runner and a receiver. And they sort of took that element out. But when you throw the football as much as the Saints did last night and you couldn't run it, you're in trouble against a team like the Chiefs.
I listened to Deuce and Mike and Jeff last night, but I did see, I watched the television naturally, and they had a shot of Steve Spagnuolo in his four Super Bowls that he was part of with the Giants, and I think three with the Chiefs, the way it worked out, if I remember correctly.
Three with the Chiefs, one with the Giants.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, yeah, but he also, you should put a fifth graphic up there that he has the record for having the worst defense ever in the history of the NFL, right, when he was here?
It was unbelievable numbers-wise. Goes to show you some of that was talent that was here. I don't think he ever really connected well with the players, because some of the players that played for him here, they'll tell you that was a bit of a disconnect.
That's a big disconnect to go from the worst ever in the NFL to four Super Bowls, don't you think?
Three, because he had one before.
All right.
With the Giants. And then, but man, he's hit gold there. He's got a great defensive staff around him. But man, it's him. He's got a real fertile mind for seeing or envision what's going to happen before and making those adjustments. And Tommy, you got to give them credit too. They have probably drafted as well on defense as any team in the NFL over the last 3 years. Most of those guys, with the exception of Chris Jones, are all with playing in like the second or third year of their contracts. So, man, they've been able to hit like Nick Bolton. Remember scouting him at Missouri. He was an undersized linebacker. He was all over the field last night, all over. And McBride at the corner position, they had him kind of head up a lot against Olave. Kind of took that away. Kind of took Olave. He was not a big factor in this football game. So they've done a really good job of drafting and developing their players. They believe in what Spags is teaching them. I'm not sure that happened here at all. Based off the numbers, you could tell that wasn't a lot of confidence in what he was trying to get across.
Nope. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. I got some reflective thoughts and some philosophic thoughts we'll share when I come back. Mike, and maybe you can tell me what you think. Mike D'Antoni, our guest. And it kind of goes to Steve Spagnuolo and Drew Brees and Sean Payton and the right time and the right place and reasonable expectations. Mike D'Antoni, WWL NFL analyst, co-host Sports Talk 622, Traffic Now, WWL.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
626, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back with Mike Dettillier, talking about the Saints-Chiefs game last night. The Chiefs had the ball for almost a whole quarter more than the Saints. Chiefs had it 40 minutes, Saints 20 minutes, round numbers. Mike, you know, I was thinking about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, and I was thinking about Joe Montana and what we went through with the Saints in the NFC West, and I was thinking about Peyton Manning, and I was thinking about these generational quarterbacks and Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And Spagnuolo got me to thinking about this and how every now and then it aligns in the NFL, right? The stars align. And the stars were aligned here. But then you had the Bounty Gate thing. You had Sean Payton suspended for a year, which derailed a lot of it. You had the no call. And all of that produced one Super Bowl trophy for the Saints, which is good because Buffalo still doesn't have one. Atlanta ain't got one, right? So Buffalo's correct. Been there four times trying to get back. Minnesota doesn't have a Super Bowl title. I understand that. So I'm very appreciative of that. The only point I'm trying to make is I think at that point the stars were aligned. I think Bounty Gate disrupted a lot of that, as did the no call and some other things, unfortunately, that happened. And I think it's kind of, I don't want to pee on anybody's parade here or anything, but I think it's kind of not realistic to think that the stars are aligned now for this franchise. Accurate?
I agree. Events, okay? Events happened. And you see it in the business world, mm-hmm. okay? Where a company is very good, and you say, man, they could be a little bit better. But events happened, decisions happened that prevented you from doing that, from being that great company. So it's the same thing in sports. It's all about talent, and it's all about management and how that particular deal is run. And it's the moment in time where the Chiefs, they have the premier coach mm-hmm. right now in pro football, in Andy Reid. You look at it, other than a slight adjustment in on the offensive side with Eric Bieniemy, most of those guys have been with Andy now for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're changing a lot of coaches. Same head coach, same assistant coaches. The most important cog, though, you got the best player in the game.
Yep.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
He's the best player in the game.
Yep.
Other people try to put other guys in that spot. They don't have his resume and what he's done as a player. And he makes everybody else better around him. And you can tell he makes everybody else better. And they have not one of the best. They have certainly in the top three or four defensive players on that side of the football in Chris Jones.
Man,
you got everything kind of moving at this point.
I was thinking about the way Lamar Jackson played on Sunday and watching Mahomes last night. If I had Lamar Jackson, as crazy as it seems, on the scout team to get ready for Mahomes, I don't think even Lamar Jackson could get you ready for that. You?
He makes plays that, Tommy, you can do everything you can.
I understand.
And he still makes them.
You talk about who?
It's unbelievable.
Mahomes. Yeah, I heard, what's his name, Kevin Harlan say that Lamar Jackson was as slippery as a raindrop the other day, which is true, but he's even as good as he is, he's no Patrick Mahomes. Back with more after this WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7. Look, there are haters out there. For the haters that are texting and saying, did you think the Saints were going to beat the Chiefs? Yeah, okay, so they lost to the defending Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champion Chiefs. I get that. If you predicted that, congratulations. You're Nostradamus. Go ahead and keep on with your hating, and let me know how you do at the casino. Speaking of which, Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier could be there to second guess live on location, Silver Slipper Casino in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. They're going to size up the Saints Chief with Mark Schlereth, NFL insider. Then at 6:30, special edition of the Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas, Bobby Hebert on WWL, the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Short week for the Saints, so no coach. Mike, look, you know, somebody texted in about injuries, and I know, let me preface it by saying this. You can get a steak at Golden Corral, okay, and I'll put that in quotation marks, or you can get a steak at, Crescent City Steakhouse, right, or Ruth's Chris, or pick your steak place. all teams deal with injuries, but that doesn't mean that all the teams are dealing with the same injuries. The Saints team is really beaten up on the offensive line. And
yeah,
now quarterback.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct.
And defensively as well.
Injuries.
And
yeah.
No, but I mean, really, the Saints have really been hard hit. Accurate?
Yeah, and every team goes through this little phase where you got a ton of injuries, mm-hmm. but you got to be able to fight through. This is what you do in the offseason. You prepare for these events that when you're going to have injuries, you're always going to have a step down. But you don't want it to be a Mount Everest step down.
No, but you would have to admit the teams that really go on a roll and wind up doing well in the playoffs, you got to get lucky with injuries. Accurate?
You got to get lucky with injuries late in the year.
Okay.
That to me, I think, is the biggest key when you're getting late in the season into the playoffs, that you have good health sort of later in the year. Because I think every team sort of goes through it. Everybody goes through this deal where you got a bunch of injuries, and sometimes it's to multiple positions. But you absolutely right about the teams that normally make these long runs or get to the Super Bowl. They have a lot of good luck health wise. You think about when the Saints got to the Super Bowl. How many key players were out mm-hmm. late in the year and into the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
None.
Yep.
They went in there, and you had a little bit of good luck there. But, again, sometimes it doesn't quite work out that way. But you could see with the Chiefs, I think that they've had injuries almost in specific spots. Like running back, wide receiver, their offensive line has been now. They've got one tackle position. They better fix that up, but quick, because you could tell they had some issues with. But for the most part, you know, the good teams stay injury free, especially late in the year.
I'm looking at the Saints last night. You lose two starting linebackers. The center's out. We know that. Taysom Hill is out, who is the guy that Kubiak kind of designed the offensive around in a lot of ways, right?
I think he's a huge part of it, yes.
Okay, so that's all I'm saying is, and people are texting and quick crying about injuries. I'm just saying I'm keeping it real with you got to look at who's injured and what effect it has. Speaking of injuries, Derek Carr goes off the field. I don't know how problematic and his oblique is. Obliques can be problematic. You know that, especially for quarterbacks. People are saying about, you know, Spencer Rattler this, Spencer Rattler that. I believe, I would have to believe that, you know, both of these guys are mid-round picks. I don't think there's a lot of capital in either one, so I don't know why. I got to defer to the Saints coaching staff. They know what they see in practice, right?
Yeah, and you know, if it's not Derek Carr, I think the Saints are going to go with Jake Haener. Now, eventually, they may have to turn this over to Spencer, but I think if you saw the move last night, they went straight to Jake Haener mm-hmm. as the guy. And you got a short week now. Now you're playing an NFC South opponent in Tampa Bay. So I heard him in the press conference last night talked about it was the throw that he hurt the oblique injury, mm-hmm. basically. It wasn't the hit. Mm-hmm. It was the throw.
Yeah, because it wasn't
the one thing with
heart of a hit.
One thing with Carr, he hasn't missed a lot of time. And so I think they would want him on the field instead of going to Haener or Rattler at this stage.
So
coaching-wise.
Yeah, and I got to believe that, again, there's no favoritism there. They looked at both guys, and they know who has the better grasp of this or better grasp of that and who gives them the better chance to win, right?
That's all you want. You want a chance to win. You know, you given the best opportunity to win. So when I saw last year when he played that Tampa Bay game early, and he was maybe 60% healthy in that game, I'm still to this day, I don't know why they played him in that game. And you could tell, my thing is, they're going to go with Derek Carr unless he says I can't do it. Now, last night, he made the comment, I couldn't do the smallest things once he got hit, so or whatever the throw was. So, Tommy, you looking at a situation here now, you're the more important game because it's an NFC South opponent with your quarterback banged up.
Mm-hmm. Derek Carr last night, one thing that just drives me out of my mind is, you know, I always talk about the football being the hopes and dreams and aspirations of everybody, right? The fans, the team, the ownership, the other player, everybody. And you got to protect that. And when I see something like Derek Carr did last night, just throwing it up on what, the first, second play of the game, I just wonder how that can happen. How can that happen with a veteran quarterback?
Tommy, I thought that was one of the more important things in the game. Okay, you had a little bit of rhythm early on.
Yeah.
And then he throws this one up. Now, he said he was trying to throw it away. It didn't look that way to me. I mean, it looked to me like he was trying to hit a big chunk play there.
And look, Drew Brees did the same thing on occasion. Who else? I've seen all kind of quarterbacks do it. Peyton Manning's done it. It's like, what the hell are you thinking?
But on that spot, you just throw it away.
Yep.
I mean, you don't give them that opportunity. I'm not sure. They said, okay, he got touched on that play. The guy touched him. He hadn't even fallen yet. You know, he hadn't even come down. And that's when he took off running for the goal line, but they ruled that he was down. Okay, that particular deal. But on that play, you just got to throw it away and live to fight another day. You can't try to hit the big play. I'm convinced he was trying to hit the receiver downfield, that he threw that one up knowing that he had a receiver there and it was a 50-50 ball. But, you know, on that 50-50, the other team has that other 50% too to come down with it. I thought early on when you were trying to gain some momentum, you kind of shut that off yourself.
Yeah, and the whole night was like that. You go on a little bit of a drive. Alvin Kamara, who rarely makes a mistake, thinks he's down, and he stops, and he's not. After that, you got Olave with a stupid motion penalty that kind of kills that drive, right? You score a touchdown, and you miss the extra point, which kind of takes the wind out of everything. It was just not a good night. Tampa Bay's coming into town, or it might be already be here, to get away from Milton. How does that affect this week's game? Advantage, anybody?
All I know is for Ida, the Saints left. They went to Texas, and then they played the game out in Jacksonville. Man, they beat the stew out of Green Bay.
Yeah.
You know? So the part about distraction sometimes, maybe that's kind of overplayed because you understand what your profession is. You understand what you have to do out on the field. But, Tommy, losing got a lot of fathers to it.
Yep. Thank you, Mike. Listen this
Thank
afternoon
you,
to you from the Silver Slipper. 6:55, 5 till 7, Traffic Now, WWO.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.